Our scripture lesson this morning is Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A teacher was helping her kindergarten student put on his boots. Even with her pulling and him pushing, the little boots did not want to go on. By the time they got the second boot on, she had worked up a sweat. And she almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. And it wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. But she managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. Then he announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" So once again, she struggled to help him pull off the boots. No sooner had they gotten the boots off than he said, "They're my brother's. My mom made me wear them." Now she didn't know whether she should laugh or cry, but she mustered up all the grace and courage that she had left and wrestled the boots on his feet again. Now, finally, that was taken care of. She was helping him into his coat, and as she was, she asked, "Now, where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Yet, although it may not be intentional, some people just have a way of making our life difficult and challenging. Now remember, they don't necessarily mean to. It's just a talent. Just like this little boy, he didn't mean to give his teacher a hard time, but no matter what the teacher did, he gave her a hard time. Some people seem to do that to us. They don't do it on purpose. They don't get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to bug John to death today." It just happens. And regardless of which direction we try to approach them from, just dealing with them, it doesn't get any easier. And yes, some of these folks are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you catch the phrasing of Colossians 3:13? Bear with one another. The common English translation says, be tolerant of each other. To me, this is important as we start a new year Tuesday. When we encounter, have you noticed something about us human beings? We only know what we deal with. It's amazing to me, at least for me, because I've been there. Maybe you haven't. But so many times when we encounter the aggravations of the church, it's tempting to feel like we invented them. The church used to be such a great institution until our generation got a hold of it. May I remind you, 2/3 of the New Testament would not exist had it not been for struggles in the church, including personality conflicts. There never was a pristine day in the church when there was no conflict. We have 2/3 of the New Testament because of it. But keep in mind that though the letter is written to the church, really the issues addressed in that letter are applicable to all of life. The author of Colossians urges us to be tolerant of each other, to bear with each other. You know, over the years, I've had some mental revelations that I wish I'd had 30 years prior. But, you know, I guess better late than never. But I've had some mental revelations over the years. And when I have had those mental revelations, they have served to relieve me of a lot of stress. And one of those revelations was actually realizing that I don't know what someone else is dealing with. That sounds so elementary, but when it finally sunk in, that was a mental revelation for me. I don't always know what someone else is dealing with. And even if I do think that I have an idea of what they're dealing with, I realize that if I were going through their trials, I might not be handling it as well as they are. And I might be more difficult to deal with than they are. And when I'm able to do this, it's amazing that though I still may not like the way they approach me, I still may not like their attitude, the way they approach me and their attitude is not nearly as big a deal as I originally thought it was. The author of Colossians urges us to be persons that the actual wording that you just heard in your scripture lesson and read in your scripture lesson is the analogy of putting on clothing, says clothe yourselves or be people of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and to tolerate each other or to bear with one another. Even in the first century church, misunderstandings occurred. Wires got crossed. Feelings got hurt. But again, remember the issues addressed in this letter are applicable to every aspect of our life. The author of Colossians urges us, if anyone has a complaint against another, make sure they make it straight. No, that was from another source. If anyone has a complaint with another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. While a fellow named Tom Wiles was university chaplain at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona, he picked up Leonard Sweet at the airport in his new Ford pickup truck to take him to a leadership conference that Sweet was going to be leading. And Leonard Sweet was in grief. He was mourning that he had had to trade his Dodge pickup. So he steps into Mr. Wild's brand new Ford pickup, you know, the smell, the shine, all of that stuff. And the two immediately bonded as they shared truck stories and said they laughed at a bumper sticker. I've never seen it, but the account says it exists. A bumper sticker stating, "Nothing is more beautiful than a man in his truck." And then Sweet says, this is what happened next. It was a one-day seminar type of thing, so the next day Tom picked him up in his new truck to take him back to the airport. And Sweet says he noticed two scrapes by the passenger door. And he says, "What happened?" He says, "Well, my neighbor's basketball goal post fell on the truck." And Sweet says, "You're kidding. How awful. This truck is so new, I can still smell it." And Tom responds and says, "Well, what's even worse is my neighbor doesn't feel responsible for the damage." And Sweet says he immediately rose to his friend's defense. He says, "Did you contact your insurance company? How are you going to get them to pay for it?" And then Tom Wiles says this: "This has been a real spiritual journey for me. After a lot of soul searching and discussions with my wife about hiring an attorney, it came down to this. I can either be right or I can be in a relationship with my neighbor. Since my neighbor will probably be with me longer than this truck, I decided I'd rather be in a relationship than be right. Besides, trucks are meant to be banged up, so I got mine initiated into the real world a bit earlier than I expected." Another mental or spiritual revelation that has brought me a lot of stress relief is I finally realized, even if I am convinced I'm right, I don't have to prove it. I don't have to convince the other party. I came to realize that proving I'm right still does not always prove it. You know what I mean? I may have proved it to my satisfaction, but not to the other person. And likely the feelings are reciprocal as they've tried to convince me that they're right. And I have to thus ask myself if proving I am right is worth damaging or destroying the relationship. Now, I'm not saying there are not times when we have to make a stand on a principle. But even then, we can avoid trying to prove the other is wrong and simply maintain what we feel our position is, as we will have to stand before the Lord one day. And so along those same lines, it's best to forgive and move on. Notice what the author of Colossians said: "If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive." Immediately following urging the readers to tolerate each other or to bear with each other, the author goes on to urge us: forgive if we have a problem with another person. I hear the author urging me to do something that is so anti-human. Just let it go. Just let it go. The owner of the damaged truck, whose neighbor appeared to be completely in the wrong, concluded, and I read his statement again, his quote: "I can either be in the right or I can be in a relationship with my neighbor. Since my neighbor will probably be with me longer than this truck, I decided I'd rather be in a relationship than be in the right." Try to remember two scenarios you have experienced. In both cases, you feel you are completely right. Not just being stubborn, you honestly, before you and God, feel you were right. And it was a matter of backing down. If to back down, you felt like you were losing. In one case, you fought tooth and nail, no holds barred, and you won. In the other, by your choice,
you forgave, even if it was not told to the other party, and you moved on. In which did you experience peace of heart? In which did you experience peace of mind? In which did you experience peace in your soul? The author goes on to say, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Worship is so crucial in our relationship with God and in each other. There is a poem about a woman sitting down at the organ one autumn day, just at twilight, and she struck a chord that swelled within the instrument with a soft majesty. Says it flowed through the room and filled the whole house with melody. And it also thrilled her heart with peace. It was the most beautiful chord in the world. And the little poem reads, it quieted pain and sorrow like love overcoming strife. It seemed the harmonious echo from our discordant life. It linked all perplexed meanings into one perfect peace and trembled away into silence as if it were loath to cease. The count goes on to say that the woman lifted her fingers from the keys and the sounds faded away and something broke the spell of the moment. And tried as she may, she kept trying to strike chords and never could find the right one. Called the lost chord. And the account concludes, for many Christians, worship is the missing chord in their experience. It's the one thing that quiets pain and sorrow like love overcoming strife. It's the one thing that makes harmonious echoes from our discordant strife. But for many, it is a lost experience. If we begin every week in 2019, and remember, we call Sunday the Lord's Day because of the resurrection. The Sabbath was actually yesterday. Today is the first day of the week. If we begin every week in 2019 with worship, whereby we experience the peace of Jesus, we will likely find it easier to be tolerant of others in all aspects of life. And we'll find it easier to forgive in all aspects of life. And if we do, 2019 will be a far better year. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you know us human beings. Whether it's in our household families, whether it's in the family of God at church, whether it's fellow human beings in the workplace, in the marketplace, it's so easy to get our wires crossed. It's so easy to get our feelings hurt. It's so easy to get wrapped up in who's right and who's wrong. But Lord, help us to be people who model the urgings of Colossians. Help us to be people of forgiveness. Help us to be people who are tolerant. Tolerant doesn't mean we just accept anything and everything, but tolerant does mean we love each other and forgive each other and we bear with each other. Lord, may we be people of tolerance. May we be people of forgiveness. May we be people of worship. And in doing so, we know that 2019 can be a far, far better year than it would be otherwise. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.